Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. And our Lord says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Prominent members of the U.S. media are waiting in great anticipation for the newly elected Pope to come out with some new statements and some new refreshing changes in the doctrine and practice of his church body, as if the doctrine of God was pliable like a clump of children's Play-Doh. Major Christian church bodies today put to vote in front of their delegates a decision whether they should stay with the teachings of Scripture or not. There's a yearning inside of our culture and inside of modern man that creeps into the church, a yearning for something new and refreshing, something different, something that puts us a little bit more in style, something that puts us a little more in keeping with the way the world thinks. We're kind of waiting for God to catch up to our new wisdom that we have. And so the world imposes on the Christian church a sense of artificial shame for being in this minority, this little flock that loves Christ, wants to listen to his voice, sees in him as the only way of salvation, and wants to follow his word. Are you possibly expecting that God is going to someday apologize to you, to our generation, for some of the things that he put in Scripture? Are we expecting that the persons of the Trinity will come to us in heaven and say, "You know, we're really sorry that we put that doctrine in there. That must have been a tough one to have to defend in your day and age. What were we thinking? That was so foolish of us. Your generation was so much wiser to realize that that shouldn't be listened to and taught. We have to apologize to you." If you're waiting for that kind of an apology from God, don't hold your breath. There's a sinful tendency in all of us that wants to compromise with the world. It's very challenging to be part of the minority, to be part of this little flock, the holy saints of God in the world. Just like Simon Peter, we all want and are tempted to fit in with the people that are around us, just as he did sitting at the fire that night that our Lord was being taken to be crucified. There's a tendency to want to disassociate ourselves with Christ, at least in certain settings, because it's just too difficult, and instead blend into the ungodly and immoral culture that is all around us. A songwriter wrote a song years ago. It had nothing to do with this, but the line was so true. "It's so hard to be a saint when you're just a boy out in the streets. It's hard to be a saint when you're just a boy out in the streets." Confessing Christ in this world is not depicted in the Bible as something that's ever going to be easy or something that is going to be pleasant. Just ask the three men who had to stand while all the others of Babylon bowed to the golden idol that had been erected. Just ask Stephen, who watched as the stones were being hurled at him to put him to death. Just ask Martin Luther, who had to be taken away and kidnapped in order to preserve his life. The confession of God's saints is always pointed in a different direction than the world wants us to look. And it's pointed to a different day. The confession of God's saints in this world is always pointed to Judgment Day. And the confessors of God in this world are always thinking of their grandchildren more than they're thinking about the people who are standing around them in this present day. There can be no neutrality when it comes to Christ and his word. Jesus says to his church, "He who is not for me is against me." In the text before us, Jesus lays down two options. There's the side of denial, and there's the side of confessing. That's it. How comforting it is for us to know that our Lord and Savior himself, the one who's won heaven for us, doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is the teaching of his church. He doesn't change with the winds of public opinion. He doesn't change with some new decision that comes out from a church body put to a vote. But this puts us at odds with the world. This puts us in an arena of fighting with the world. Dr. C.F.W. Walther wrote this: "Wherever a Christian finds himself, the entire world is his battlefield, and the entire church is the holy land whose borders he must defend. Each Christian family and congregation is a fortification, and every revealed truth, every Bible verse, is an entrenchment he must guarantee with his blood." God is the one who produces the boldness of his saints in this world to confess him. He is the one who opens our lips so that we can sing forth his praise. He's the one who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one that has brought us by his word to recognize and see our wicked, sinful, and evil fallen condition on our own, and the fact that not a single one of us would have a hope of entering heaven by ourselves. But he's also the one who's flown us to the cross through the means of grace, who's brought us to the feet of our Savior dripping with his blood, and had that blood now cleanse us of every sin we've ever done, so that he declares us to be holy and righteous before him through faith in his Son. This is the God who gives his church the power and the ability to confess him in this evil world. He's the one that produces in you that urge that says, "I love Christ, I need Christ, I love his forgiveness, I look forward to seeing him in heaven someday." When I was a student on this campus years ago preparing for the seminary, there was a young lady a couple years behind me, and I didn't know her real well, but she went on to marry a Bethany graduate. They had a family together. And I found out years later that they had drifted into a membership in a church that really was no longer sticking to the Word of God, and had drifted quite a ways away from things in the Word of God. She was finally, at a very young age, diagnosed with terminal cancer and given only a matter of months to live. And so she took a list of questions to her pastor, and she asked him these questions, and she wanted to know about heaven and about how to get to heaven and where was truth. And every answer that he gave her was wishy-washy. It was Play-Doh. It was Jell-O. And so she took her family and left the church and sought a church where the pastor stuck to the Word of God. Because when you're facing your own grave, this stuff matters. It matters. Truth matters. It maybe doesn't matter to the world that's trying to press on us and get us to change, but it matters on Judgment Day. And that is the day our Lord wants us to be prepared for the most. And nothing will ever give you in your life greater joy than to hear your Lord Jesus Christ confess your personal name before his Heavenly Father. The hymn writer Hans Brorsen described the view of the saints in heaven looking back on what we're in now on earth. "Despised and scorned, they sojourned here, but now how glorious they appear." Just think what we have to look forward to because of Christ. So, O little flock, fear not the foe. Amen.